Today's reading is taken from the book of Revelation, starting at chapter 3, starting at verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
When I get to the end, I'm going to have an opportunity for us to respond. It may be for some of us that it will be the first time that you've done anything like this. It may be for some of us that you just want to go deeper in some kind of way. So the prayer that I'm going to use, I'm going to read now. And when I get to the end, we're going to play a last song and we're going to have this opportunity to come closer, either for the first time or again at this time in our lives as followers of Jesus. Is that all right? This is the prayer. It's not brilliant, but it's quite good. I'm reading it out from a mate of mine. Thank you, Lord, for loving me before I ever loved you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that I can get connected to you because you're alive today. I admit that I have lived my life without you and messed up. I ask for your total forgiveness and commit myself to you. Help me. Help me now, even now, to submit my life to your teaching and direction from now on. I receive you. I open the door and receive you into my life and ask you, Lord Jesus, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. So that's the prayer that I'm going to use. It's not so much a prayer as a decision that we have an opportunity to make. The words that we had read out today are in some Bibles that are called red letter Bibles. They're all red words. They're all coloured in the colour red because all of the words that were read out in our reading are words that Jesus said. And these are words that Jesus says to us today. Those words were spoken to people that were believers, but these words that were read out can also be spoken to everybody and have done over centuries and continue to do so. And there's that amazing, famous verse that most of us, if not all of us, have heard before. And I heard that word about 45 years ago one summer, and made the decision to open the door to Christ for the first time, and have been opening the door to other areas of my life and going deeper since that time of July the 28th, 1973, at 10 o'clock at night. I've been going deeper with Jesus. And Jesus says these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I love that. I love that word. Behold. This is what Jesus is saying. Behold, it says there, "Here I am." Little bit weak, not too bad. "Here I am. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Listen. Behold, here I am. Look at me. See. That's how Jesus begins the verse 20. Behold. Can you see me? Can you get hold of me? Would you look at me? Would you come to me? Would you listen to me? Behold. That's the first thing. The second thing, we're told what he's doing is like standing at the door. Can we put the first picture up? Behold, I stand at the door. So there is this picture, isn't there, of this Christ. And I've been to see this huge painting in St. Paul's and spent some 20, 30 minutes under it, gazing at this huge picture of Jesus saying these words, "Behold, behold, I stand at the door." So our life is like a house or a home. And there he is outside, and at this door there's the weeds growing up, and he's knocking. He's got a lantern in one hand. What's he doing? He's knocking at the door. That's what he's doing. He wants entrance. He wants to come. And if he's come, he wants to come in a different way. He wants to come, and he's just standing there, knocking, speaking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And who is it? Who is this Jesus? What's he doing? He's like speaking to us. That's like prayer, because prayer's two ways, isn't it? We know that. It's like he's speaking and he's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," even the knocking is speaking. Even him standing there saying, "Behold," he's speaking. He's like coming close and saying, "Behold, I stand at the door." It's like he's beginning to speak. That's prayer. And when we hear him, we can respond back to him. We talk to him. He talks to us. Who is this Jesus? He's someone that knows best. So let him in. He knows better than me, so it's best if I let him in. He knows better than you, so it's better you let him in. Who is this Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the only Son of God. God has just one son. It's better to let him in. Who is he? He's the light of the world. I want that light. We need that light. Our world needs that light. I need to have that light burning in me. And I have that light. And I want it to burn brighter. So he's standing there saying, "Behold, I'm standing and I'm outside, but I want to come in and I want to push through the weeds that are growing outside of your door." Who is this Jesus? He's someone that knows best. He's someone that knows you. He's someone that knows me. Who is this Jesus? He's someone who's the light of the world. He's someone that has nails in his hands. That's who he is. And what is he saying? Well, he said to the church in Laodicea, he said to them that they needed to humble themselves. There's no progress without humility. I can't get far if I'm not humble and humbled. God resists the proud. I'm not going to do well if I'm proud or stay proud, but I will do well. But God gives grace to the humble. And what's he saying? He said to the church, he said, you're lukewarm, you're indifferent. You're neither hot nor cold, people of God. He spoke to them. He said, I'd like to spit you out. Can you imagine it? I'd like to just spit you out. That's what he said. You need to humble yourselves. You think you're brilliant. You're not. You're rich in possessions, but you're really poor and pitiful. Come to me by gold. Come to me by spiritual stuff. You need some spiritual stuff, not stuff from this world. You need to come and buy gold. You need to come and buy a white coat that I can put around you, because I want to forgive you, cleanse you. That's why I died on the cross, shed my blood, gave my life so that I can forgive you and robe you with a robe of righteousness. You need that white coat, that robe of righteousness, white clothes, and your eyes are sick. You think you can see, but you're blind. You need some ointment. We all have blind spots. We try and get rid of blind spots in a car by perhaps putting an additional mirror. I've got blind spots. And I like it or don't like it when God shines his light on a blind spot and says, I want to bring healing and change to that. These people were, their eyes were sick. They were infected. And Jesus is saying to them, buy gold. Come buy gold. Come buy this coat that I bought for you on the cross. And I want to put ointment over your eyes and bring healing. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying to them, put yourself aside. Put your agenda aside. Put your thing aside. Take me up. Take my agenda instead, he's saying. He's saying to them, be earnest and change or repent. Paul reminded us a few weeks ago about what is really required, what it really means, that word repent, and it means to change. That's the heart of it. That gives us a little bit better understanding. Repent. Yes, it means being sorry, but it also means change. So Jesus is saying, be earnest. Be diligent. Let's get serious for a moment. Put your indifference aside. Repent. Change. What is Jesus saying? Open the door. That's what he's saying. Open the door. What is Jesus saying? Humble yourself. Put yourself aside, your agenda. Pick up me, pick up my agenda. Be earnest, change. And finally, open the door. What will happen when you and I open that door? Christ will come in. Believer, what will happen if you open that door? in that particular area, Christ will come in that area that he's talking to you about at this moment in time, at this season in your life, in that area that he's talking to me about, where he's saying, let me have control there. Let me have influence there. Let me change that there, Andy. Let me heal you there. I've got some ointment for that there. Open the door, Andy, to that. What will happen if we open the door? He will come in. And what will he do? He'll bring his healing. He'll bring his light. He will eat with us and we will eat with him. And then he says that we'll sit with him forever. It's really necessary for you and I to know that we are loved. And that song when we sing, "You're a good, good father," moves me. Because it reminds me of who I am, what I have. It reminds me of God's love. And it's really essential that I know that I'm loved. But there's another thing too, that love from God that I receive means at times that I'm rebuked and disciplined. Jesus is saying in these verses, I rebuke and discipline all that I love. If my Lord didn't rebuke or discipline me, it would mean he wouldn't love me. Whether I like it or not, I don't like it sometimes. It's horrible. I want to run from it. I don't want it. But I know quite well that because my Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, I know that I'm rebuked and disciplined, and it means that I'm loved. I've got a daughter, and there have been times when love has been nice and soft and kind and cuddly and all those nice things that we associate love with. But there's another kind of love as well. It's the kind of love that made Jesus say to Peter, you know, what are you talking about, Peter? What are you talking about? Get behind me, Satan, he called his disciple. One of his beloved disciples, one of Jesus's mates, one of the 12, he really messes it up at that moment. And Jesus rebukes him because he loves him and disciplines him and says to him, go away. Get behind me. Your thoughts and your ways at this time are just not right, Peter. And you know, and other times, Jesus says to Peter, when you come back to me, after you've denied me, after you've walked away, when you've completely fallen and you think you're finished, you think it's gone, I want you to get up, stand up and go and strengthen your brothers and sisters, Peter. You will deny me, but remember, when you come back and I restore you, I will use you hugely to change the world. So we've got to the end of our time together this morning, and could we use the next slide? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear If anyone here today hears my voice and opens the door, Jesus is knocking at my door and your door. And today, even now, as we hear God's voice, as we open the door, he will come in. Next slide. He's standing at the door and knocking. What will we do? Well, it may be for you, it may be that Jesus is saying, it's time you were generous. It's time you were more generous. Maybe for some of us, he's saying, it's time you tithed. It's time you were generous. It's time you went the extra mile. Maybe for some of us, he's saying, you need to speak up. You need to speak up. You need to stand up and speak up. For some of us, he might be saying, you need to shut up. What's he saying? For some of us, he's saying, you need to take up gifts that you've lost, talents that you've just put aside. I was at a conference a few weeks ago, and I was really moved at one point and responded to the word being preached. And I said, Lord, I'm coming back. The speaker said something, I wrote it down. He said, take two steps back. Take two steps back and go and let God do miracles through you. Go two steps back for the miracle. I've gone two steps back. So what's happened? What's happened? What's happened to the stuff I used to do in the 90s in Africa? And that I would bring here and I would roll that out here in praying for the sick. What's happened to that? What have I done with that? What's happened to the second thing? Go two steps back. Go two steps back. Take up the two things that you've almost don't do anymore. Take two steps back. Go and pick up those two things. And what's happened to the prophetic stuff that you used to do? What's happened to that? So what I'm saying is, what is God saying to you? That's what God is saying to me. What's happened to those gifts from the Holy Spirit? What's happened to that calling? Oh, that was then. It's finished now. I'm in another era. I'm doing something else now. What utter nonsense. So what, I don't know what God's saying to you, or maybe I do. Maybe I do know what God is saying to you and me. Let me say it again. Maybe he's saying to some of us, tithe plus. Get it. Catch this one. It's like I've thrown a ball out. Get it now. I mean, I'm rubbish at cricket. I've thrown this out now. Catch it now. I pray. I'm praying now even. Catch it. Secondly, speak up. It's time to speak up. That's what Jesus is saying. What's Jesus saying? Shut up. Yes. What's Jesus saying? What's happened to that great stuff from the Holy Spirit that you used to do that you've abandoned now? Take two steps back, pick them up, and run with it, believer. I'm talking to you. Another thing, it's like learn. I realize sometimes I'm not a lazy person. I'm a little bit lazy in one or two things. I don't really mean that. It's like the hunger to learn is not there in some areas. So I'm like, what I mean is I'm rusty in some apologetic stuff. That's what I'm talking about here. So it's like, learn. I need to do some homework. I throw that word out. That's a word for some people here, learn. So I came across this series of books as I end now. Some time ago, and a woman called June Hunt has written 44 of these little books. This one, Confrontation, and I mention this one of the 44 because James spoke on confrontation last week, subtitled Challenging Others to Change. I've read it 3 times. You can read it in 1 or 2 evenings. It's fantastic. Look how thin it is. It's miles better than the book James was talking about last week. I mean, you're going to be that like a week or two. It doesn't matter what he says. He says the print is large. That didn't work with me, James. This book on confrontation, challenging others to change. This Christian woman is awesome. That's not an exaggeration. This is a free copy if anyone wants it. And then I read this other book. It's like, learn, Andy. Learn. For yourself and for the stuff that you do for others, you need to come on. Boundaries. How to set them and how to keep them. Every one of us here is better when we put in boundaries. How do you do that? What are boundaries? How do you put boundaries in? Very practical books. So those two are free. And just if anyone would like a picture of, can we put the first one up? If anyone would like a picture of that, I'll leave some on the table here. You can come and get them at the end. Thank you. Can we play a song and then I'll pray? Let's pray now. If we can put the picture up, the first picture. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's no handle on the outside. Only you and I can open the door. If anyone hears my voice and only opens the door, you don't need great strength. You don't need great faith. You just need to open the door to the Son of God, the light of the world, and he'll step in your life, step in that area. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and them eat with me. Relationship. Fellowship. This is the prayer. And I'm going to pray it line by line and pause so that you in the quiet, you and I in the quiet, can respond. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving me before I ever loved you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For dying on the cross for me, thank you. Thank you that I can get connected to you. I can know you now because you're alive today. I admit I've lived my life without you and have messed up. I ask you for your total forgiveness. I commit myself to you. Help me, Lord, to submit my life to your teaching and direction from now on. Lord, I receive you. Lord, I open the door. Even now, Lord, I open the door. Lord, come into my life. Come into those areas. Come in, Lord. You're welcome. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, make me born again by your Spirit. This is my decision. This is my prayer. This is my adoration and thanks. Amen. Please take your seats for a moment. Thank you. Emmanuel has a group of people that offer prayer, and that will be available after the service over there or there. Over there. So if you want to take that up, then please do. I'm going to go over there later, because there's one or two things that I need someone to stand with me in, one or two things that I want someone to pray with me about. So that's on offer. There's tea and coffee there. And if you prayed that prayer, perhaps for the first time, then come and tell myself or the person that you know here, or come and tell Paul. The prayer that I used is in this book called Connection, and they're free at the back. On page 17. So if you want that book written by a good friend of mine, then take one of those as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. I think we've been challenged this morning. So I just want to, can I just ask the prayer ministry team to start making their way over so people are there and ready? Yeah.